about the zeros and the ones?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of We Shot First, the Saga Edition Star Wars Campaign Dawn of Defiance. We are jumping right in with the same people that were on here last time. Another cameo, patron cameo of the month, Dan Verslice. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, up to his eyeballs in cards, credits, debt, and ex-wives, Matt Witt is reviving his role as the star of the show as Rahal Oberus.
Good evening, everybody.
And continuing his endless cameo, because have you ever noticed we've been playing with Joe for like a year? Unless we're playing Age of Ashes where he's embedded, we just say, oh, it's Joe's cameo. He's got like two in this one and two. He's just doing a cameo. We don't know if he's going to commit to the show. We don't know if we're going to kill him off if we need to, you know. He's our floater cast member. Joe Gibson is in the house, and I am glad he is.
Hello, hello.
And why? Because we don't have Frank. We don't have Ryan. We will have Aiden later if things go sideways, but right now, he is off filming our brand new show, Cadaverous Cogs, where we are taking Rob Hammond is directing, Philip Trout, our new GM, is running, my son-in-law Jay Tamlin, your favorite samurai, and Dr. Leth from this show is playing, my daughter, possibly, Alex Tamlin, will be playing. Of course, Aiden Willems and Rob Hammond himself are all running through the Carrion Crown adventure path for Pathfinder, but they're tweaking it. They're using the pure steam rules. So instead of Castlevania, think of more of a Thomas Edison Frankenstein kind of angle. And they've been plugging away behind the scenes, and we are hopefully, I'm hopefully going to get that footage to edit very soon, and we'll be releasing that show and get my stars back into this one so we can have our Jedi back. But for right now, I would like to talk about day four, the tournament's final rounds. But before we dig in, guys, we quit last session. You survive Rahal. You're still betting. You're allowed to leave for the day. You go back. You reunite. You have some comm chat, secret little talk with Merrick, what he's up to. Have him looking
at
something.
I don't think I even found him.
No?
He's just AWOL.
Right.
Probably planting explosives in strategic locations so that, you know, if things go sideways, we can just sink the city.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hamilton, as in Old Man Zinn, is quite happy to babysit Captain O'Keefe and the droid crash on the Banshee so that we have a presence there. So it's just you and the creepy bug man Vibesh chilling in that overpriced penthouse down at the Bespin Hotel.
Ours.
Yes. And he only needs closet space because he just hangs upside down. You are contacted by a familiar face, I should say. But it's not a direct holo. It's just an encrypted message coming from Zelzon Station. Do you agree to the charges? It's a collect call. Encrypted message, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Charge to the room.
Okay. It's a message from Switch. Can I have computer use to decrypt it? Now, you do have R4. Remember R4 is on hand? You traded droids. Dr. Leth has your killbot, and you guys have R4 kicking around.
Yeah.
And he's kind of doing the go-between. He was hanging out with Old Man Zinn, but now he's back in the room if you have anything for him to do. So, like I guess if you want him to aid you or you want to, have a go at that, you know?
Yep.
He's out on the balcony. You got the beautiful view and the screen door open. He's on the balcony, and you like all the space traffic going by, and R4's out there taking in the view. You know, really nice.
Classy.
Yeah, yeah.
The pink fluffy clouds.
So, what's
so? Yeah, I'll if I can't directly. Well, here I'll give a shot at decrypting it because I do have some computer skill. But if I don't smash it off, then I'll leave it in R4's hands to, you know.
Okay. Well, would you like him to do an aid roll?
And I'll try it on my own first.
Okay.
12.
12.
Can't figure this out. Yo, R4. And I'll like slide the data chip his way or transfer the file.
Mm-hmm.
See what you can make of this. Send it to my data pad when it comes in.
Okay. He chews on it.
Yep.
with a 16.
He's much better at computers than I am.
Yeah. So, yeah, continue. Chew, 21. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So you have the room, and within an hour, he comes to you, beepity bobbity boop, with the information. It is a message from Switch, the droid gangster on Zelzon Station, who you agree to sort of work for a little wee bit. You're not surprised. Captain Morrow might have contacted him. Morrow is... he's still in the running, but he's not doing great. He's low in cash, like, you know, having a good stake in the game, having good money to bet with is good. He's kind of low kind of thing. He's kind of like the least favorite. He's the long horse here, and we need to bring him up.
Okay.
Okay. So to help things along, the droid crime lord has sent you a piece of software, hence the encryption, for you to insert and reprogram the Sabacc dealer droids that will twist the lock of the draw in Morrow's favor.
Not happening. Sorry. I'm not even going to bother downloading it. I'm not going to do it. I can play the game and help him if he sends me a message saying, oh, he's not doing so good.
If he doesn't beat out somebody at this table, Switch might be, not too happy with you. So can I have an intelligence roll from you, sir? It's gotta be something you can do.
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of things I can do. 23.
Old Man Arif has a very chaotic play from the hip style. It's quite unusual. He's not flat and logical like Arandis. He's not savvy like Silas and your wife and yourself. She's like the polar opposite of Arandis. And you have two polar opposites at a table where he's slow and steady and she's like the rabbit just bouncing around and chaotically. It's a chaotic game, and you know what I mean? Like that type of thing. If Morrow hasn't picked up on it, maybe a little chat with him, a little advice how to, stay out in front at least a couple of the players, right?
Sure.
Okay. Do you want to contact him via comms? Do you want to go over there and spend a little visit on a ship with a drink? What do you want to do?
Yeah, drink on the ship.
Okay.
100%. I wouldn't do it over comms.
Always good to... Okay. So...
I'll just, sit down with him and be like, Switch is asking me to cheat. I'm not going to do that. It hasn't gone well for anybody who's done it so far in this tournament. The security team is on point, blah, 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 blah. But... and then go in and explain, here's the people who we're sitting at the table with. Here's, any tells I noticed of them, blah, blah, blah. Share my observations, tell them about the play styles. And then tell them that, if it comes down to you and me, I'll fold. You know what I mean?
Okay. So he welcomes you, drink in hand. Where's your foreign friend?
Which one? All my friends is foreign.
Oh, I saw what you did there. That was good. So, to your health, Aqua.
Cheers.
He pours you real booze. He's actually drinking melted ice. It's their Bespin's version of they draw atmosphere from the cloud, and this, their version of
slushy.
Yeah. I never drink and gamble, but this stuff is good. Eh? You gotta put syrup on. Good stuff, right? So you wanted to talk to me. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I got a encrypted communique from our mutual friend. And he's asking me to do some fishy stuff at the table and, reprogram the Sabacc dealer. And I got to be honest, the way the security team's been holding out this tournament, I think it's too risky. But what I can do is give you a few pointers for some of your opponents.
Go on.
Arif, honestly, he's got this far on luck alone. Pay attention. And Lady Fiero, I've known her a long time. She ain't no pro. She's got obvious tells. And then I'll go and explain, watch for the twitch of the lip, watch for the brush of the hair.
Okay.
And, we're down to the last table, so anytime it comes down to you and me in a pot, I'll just fold.
All right. I love how players can go a little bit off script. They have something in mind that actually turns into a dice mechanic. And you didn't quite hit the notes, but you went off in another direction. So I still see an advantage. I still see a small bonus for Morrow, you know, overall. Going to give him the old nudge. We have our drink, you know.
Yep.
You go back. Is there any other business or anyone you want to get in touch to, anybody you want to talk to?
I'll pass the software over to Morrow.
Okay.
And be like, if you want to make this attempt, go ahead, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Could I borrow your droid?
Sure.
The Astromech?
Yeah. I'm sure that can be arranged.
All right. Immediately cut to, like, Mission Impossible music, and he's, like, all blacked up with, like, with Morrow's dark underwear upside on his head and, you know, the eye sensor and sneaking through the place in the middle of the night and, you know, claiming to be maintenance and, you know, hacking these droids. Now, these droids, we talked about them being there, but I never really talked about their significance. They actually hang from the ceiling, like the medical droids on rails. So there's an interface in the ceiling. They hang down like those spidery medical droids.
Okay, yeah.
Over the end of the table, type of thing, right? So, you know, so in rolls R4, you know, makes some stealth rolls and you know, slips in, you know, cuts his way in through a vent or some way, like, you know, that's not guarded. You see him around the corner, cuts his way in.
Rolls through the thing with a thing of drinks on 20s. His head.
Where are these 20s? I'm rolling 20s on my Star Trooper dice. Where's that when I'm shooting at you? So he gets in there and, you know, type of thing, and they're all sleeping or whatever, and he finds an access panel, and you just kind of see, you know, a couple of them light up, little head turns, like, uh-oh, and he frantically starts making computer rolls. And we'll draw the scene out. You know, maybe successful, maybe got caught, maybe not. But he doesn't return to the room. You just assume Morrow's using him for doing his thing. Which brings us to the next day. Day 4 of the tournament. Now, there is another call from the Banshee. Okay.
Okay.
Again from Crash. Not from Zin specifically. He keeps saying that Zin's busy and O'Keefe is busy. The message comes from Captain O'Keefe, but it is being delivered by Crash. He gets you on the comms. Okay. Now, Crash, as you know, because he has to talk to spaceports, you know, can actually speak. He actually has, like, the vocabulator, right? So he, you know, he tells you, Imperial communication chatter has died down, and the reason seems to be that perhaps Lieutenant Aranda's made it to the final table of the tournament. If your theory proves correct. I have been monitoring communications from a medium transport called the Shackles of Nizon, which is still in orbit over the planet. Strange, with the tournament being practically at its end, you know, most off-world traffic has been, you know, landed, sorted, you know, if that was an actual tournament entry or someone that wished to witness the tournament, I think they would be having a fit, not just happily staying in a holding pattern. So I've been keeping my eye, it's got like the one sensor on that ship, and I have been picking up infrequent signals from the ship that are consistent with signals used by the slave circuits, which are used to control starships from a distance. It is sus.
Sus.
and with that, he, you know, he, that's the message, and he ends communications.
Right.
And this is playing in your head. You're sitting at your table. Only one table remains on the final day of the Cloud City Sabacc tournament. Each of the competitors is intensely focused on their own thoughts and soon the hand of Sabacc cards that will be placed in front of them. There is a tension in the air as they will begin to compete to see who will take home an incredible prize. All eyes are on the central table, and the Bith band from the day before produces only the faintest background music. The crowd has not thinned, and it now surrounds the last table, which is illuminated by lights from overhead. With the house lights completely dimmed, the final table in the middle of the room glows like an iridescent torch in the dark casino. Drawing your attention to the map, these two tables that face each other, imagine the droid dangling down between them, spinning back and forth, firing cards.
Cool. Good visual.
Yeah. And for our purposes, okay, I will use a couple of minis. Arandis is... Oh, I got people in the wrong spot here. Sorry. Oop. Arandis is on the end here. You are in between. And then we've got...
center of the table, just where I like it.
We got Kreska on your right. Straight across from you is Silas. And across from you on your left is the ex-wife, who is practically directly across from Mirandis. And, of course, last, but not least, we have not Old Man Zin. I'm going to use the Ramagiligar mini, but this is supposed to be Zin. Arif.
Or Arif, yeah.
Arif, this is Arif.
Yep.
I'll just take a moment to remove the nameplate. There we go. Okay. So three on one side, three on this side are final competitors. And any last words, any back and
last
forth?
Last words.
is there anyone you wish to engage in conversation with or wish luck to before the first hand is dealt? Matt, Rahul.
I'm going to try and deceive my competitors to make them think that I maybe might be a little out of my league.
You act nervous like a rookie and wide-eyed, yep, and especially play it up. Okay. Can I have deception, please?
34 deception.
Okay. Can I have a perception from Silas? And I'll handle the rest of them. Because there's no sense motive in this. It all runs off of perception.
Oh, a nat one. Why not?
Yeah. Maybe this guy. Okay. So this guy that you valued as not a huge threat like Arandis, but definitely someone to watch, seems like on the last day he's a little nervous and he's choking. You know, you see the ice shake in the glass as he puts it down and covers his hand, you know, looks around to see if anyone noticed type of thing, and makes wide-eyed conversation with the guy next to him, with Arandis, who just kind of looks at him funny and, you know, this type of thing. Rocking back and forth in this chair like a four-year-old, you know, all kinds of shit. Don't oversell it, Rahul. Anyway, 34 deception. He's really, really selling this, right? And there's even a point where the woman beside you scoffs. And again, not that she knows him because of your encounter. It might more be like just like, idiot, amateur. Old Man Arif, you know, offers his condolences to our variant noob. You know, it'll be okay. You know, may the force and luck be with you, you young whippersnapper. You know, you never know what's going to happen by the end of the day. No, not at all. Not at all. You know, very excited to be here myself. And he picks up his glass. It shakes like mad. Just like nothing but ice hits the lips because the water, just like the juice is everywhere, right? Oh, bother. So, and play begins. And lean in. And the view shoots back, pulls back, and everyone starts focusing on nothing but the carts. In the crowd, you know, there are people coming in, people coming out. We've got posers at the bar, and we've got Vibesh taking up his spot where he was before, sort of in the crowd, watching your back and watching the door, that type of thing. Vibesh, can I have a perception check, please?
Sure you can. As horrible as it is.
I believe in you.
Yeah, okay. Come on. Too many windows. How is a big whopping 11?
You ever seen that scene in the movie Airplane where they had the metal sensor backwards and all these guys are walking in with bazookas and stuff and the guards doing nothing and then grandma comes through and goes bing 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 green and they freak out and grab that type of thing? Yeah, that's the best right now. Like dudes are walking in with like bulges under the coats and stuff and must be an eating utensil. It's not a vibroblade, it's just a knife, you know.
Security's doing its job.
Yeah. No, just an obvious, you know, bad joke reveal. No, as far as you can tell, Vibesh, all is well. Okay. So, we get into, you know, three rounds, four rounds, you know, the day starts wearing on.
Vibesh is not on security detail anymore. He's just an observer.
I know.
Okay.
But any player in the vicinity, it actually tells me that, like, if they're... Because last game he said, I'm going to keep an eye on the door. And I'm going to keep, right? And, you know, they start with the security guys and then it goes to anyone in the house. So I'm also going to give Poser a shot at this. Not likely with that.
I'm just saying for like the last 2 days, two guys have pulled in with whole day blasters. Like, yeah. He's not doing his job.
He's watching that door so intently, you know, people are walking in, all this stuff. So now the players. Can I have a perception from both Silas and from you, Rahul?
Oh, roll 20 is not my friend tonight.
Hopefully it's mine. No. 16.
16 for me as well.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to force point that.
Okay.
Just because I have so many of them.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Get a 22.
22. 22. Not bad. Not bad at all. You watch the players, and they are slick. Subtle movements with hands, you know, distracting your focus by rimming their drinks and, you know, the type of thing, and cards flash and this type of thing. You know, they're playing the players, not the cards in front of them. These guys are good. And even though a few fleeting moments of sus, you know, Silas, no, Kreska, no, Arif, you know, you can't watch all of them all the time. And there's that moment where maybe somebody does something and Rahal's gaze is just perception 23 for success, just off of the glance there. Oh. I know, bad DMing, right? What are you talking about? Why would you tell him this? It's like, oh, come on. He was so close. But no, everything's fine. Nobody's cheating. No one's doing anything dirty under the table. It's all good. It's all good. The game presses on. So on and on it goes. And then we get to our break. And the game is, it's still anyone's show. You know, money's traded hands back and forth, okay? Arandis, though, is slowly stockpiling. He's slowly, you know, playing the slow game, sifting off of all you guys, and has built up a considerable stake of money. This guy is stone cold, does not take chances, does not get goaded easily. You know, people try and bluff him, try and get that money on the table, that kind of thing. You know, the guy's stone cold. Your ex-wife, you know, does well to her credit. You know, Silas isn't doing bad. Arif, suddenly the winds of fate change and all of a sudden he's back in the game when he was really low and wins a hand and can restake, you know, the chaos theory, right? You've got Moro just plodding along. You know, it's not like he's losing so badly that he's out, but he's still in the, you know, in the middle kind of thing. Anyway, he gives you like a sly wink. But he still looks a little nervous. So is that, was the droid successful? Did I get my droid back? Is my droid in security? It's like, I gotta talk to him about that later. But obviously not here. Not now. And let's not forget, all of our comms are down, being jammed. You have your shiny little pins that keep, you know, that monitors you guys and tries to keep you guys from cheating. All that kind of stuff. So you would have to smuggle in some pretty cool tech or have a pretty cool system to cheat at this table this late in the game. In a 4-day yearly Sabacc tournament, you got to be pretty freaking slick. So slick, someone might need a DC 23 perception check to notice you cheating. That's how slick we're talking. And Rahal, you know, credit where credit is due, man. He's just, it's
I tried,
there.
Man. I
it's
tried.
There, but it's not in the cards. So, with no one armed in the crowd, apparently, and no one cheating at the table, apparently. Smooth sailing, hey guys, no problem. What could possibly go wrong?
Good game. Good game,
yeah,
boys.
We're doing well, right? All right.
No more yelling gun and charging somebody. Yeah, that's all.
So you guys are getting to break. You head off. You can take your 20, right?
Yep.
Your ex-wife, Miss Fierro, leaves, like takes the whole 20 out. You know, like there's that, that's a, you can't leave the building, but you know, I mean, there's like some people just need to be quiet, not distracted. They don't want to be handled by people. They don't want to be met at the bar. They don't want the balcony, nothing. So Fierro, you know, disappears.
She goes to the green room.
Yep. Arandis, true to form, just sits at the table and watches everyone leave in turn, studying everyone as if.
Yeah, like, I'm going to stay at the table as well.
Okay. Silas, what are you doing?
Wipe the sweat off my brow.
Yeah. Old man Arif gets up. He has to pee because he's old. And Kreska, who's very smug and won like the last hand, the Rodian guy, you know, has security check his chips so he can leave him at the table. And he goes off to get a drink. He seems very pleased with himself how he won the last hand, leaving you, Arandis, and Silas at the table.
Yeah, actually, Silas will make his way up from the table and make his way over to the bar just to get a drink or get one of these Bespin slushies that he's been hearing so much about.
That's the new. Yeah, you watch him, like right off your left shoulder across from his Rahal, then up to the left is Moro, and he's got this big Slurpee. Strahd is like, what the hell is that?
Wow, that pink drink there looks just ever so delicious.
Okay.
I might have to have me one of them.
You want a Shirley Bespin? It's the Bespin version of a Shirley Temple. You want Shirley Bespin? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, nope. Sir.
Okay. So, yeah. Umbrellas, straw, clear glass with a little dome on it. Nice and cold. Mostly ice. You almost got to, like, let it melt slowly, which is kind of cool because you can sip a bit and then it keeps and it melts some more. You can sip some more. Like, this is the drink that lasts. Doesn't go flat, you know, doesn't get warm. It's a pretty cool idea. You know, if you win the tournament, if you win the tournament, Mr. Draver, you know, I bet a peach flavor added to this, you could do really well in your home world as like a side investment. Just saying.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The wheels are now turning. And I do believe I know of a possible backer.
Possibly. Quite possibly. So, while you are sitting at the bar, a message comes to you. A droid, you know, whips up with a little tray and a stick on it. Silas Draver.
And Silas turns to the droid. Yes.
He says, there's a message for you. Anyway, you can't leave. And you can't take it here. Like I said, no software, nothing can come in, go out. They just let you know that there's a call being held for you outside when you're done, when you're ready. You know who it is.
Okay.
A little shiver runs down your spine. As you remember, you really need to win this money. Or there will be consequences. And
yeah, so Silas standing there, he gets the message. He processes it in his brain, thinking, and dread shoots through him. And he sort of looks around to see if anybody else is really paying him any mind. And he turns back and kind of slouches over against the bar and continues drinking his fantastical drink.
Okay. The camera pans down to a pocket that he absentmindedly touches. A little bulge in pocket, little device kind of thing. Nothing illegal. You know, like he's been searched, that kind of thing. It's a credit holder. It's just like a bill folder, right? Just a piece of metal, right? Only it's round, cylindrical, and cupped and can hold credit chips. But his is a little thicker. And the camera zooms in really, really, really tight to some microchip that begins warming up and blinking. End of the break, a little time later, about 20 minutes later. The players resume at the table.
Reconvene.
Only a small number of competitors remain. Lady Fierro, Captain Morrow, yourself, Rahal, Old Man Arif, and of course, Silas and Kreska. So, getting to the end, we're down to some of the final rounds. Can I have a gambling check or a wisdom check from our two players?
Ah, crap. I mean, sure.
10.
Oh, God. 3.
Okay. Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Sorry, what'd you get there, Silas? 10?
Silas had a 10.
Okay. Lady Fierro also gets 10. Captain Morrow doesn't do bad at all. And Old Man Arif, and then Kreska. So, for some reason, okay, even though you play a hand that's, you know, let's say worth a 3, at the very end, okay, it's worth nothing, like a 1. Because Kreska lays out the second best card set in the game called the Idiot's Array. And it's sort of a reverse. Now, I called Sabacc poker. But technically, when you're doing the cards part of it, as opposed to the gambling and the betting, it's more like blackjack. You're trying to get to 23 in the positive, or all the way to like 23 in the negative in your number suits. Or with the Idiot's Array, I think it's like a perfect 0. So it's like having jokers, you know, it's like, no one saw that coming, right? Really, really rare. It's not like a royal flush, like which is like your best hand kind of thing. Anyway, Kreska pulls this out of a hat and it debunks Captain Morrow, you know, everyone that was doing well, and makes your hand even worse. And because he plays this, for whatever reason, the rule, you know, you lose the hand, and he, Kreska just starts raking in. You lose your pot of water. You're not out of the game, but you've lost this hand really badly, and it's taken a big chunk of your cash. Where people have money have advantage, right? Yep. So I'm going to have you play with a -2 to your rolls from this point on, openly. Because if this kind of luck, shall we call it? Yeah, let's call it luck. Bad luck. Keeps happening. Yeah, -2 for all of you. Buddy's just won such a big lump. Now, Arandis still has his frickin' hoard, and the others aren't, you know, have enough built up that they're not worried too much. They didn't bet too much in the round, but this is one of those rounds where Rahal was, like, almost all in, and, you know. So it goes on. And shall we say that, Rahal, you are, what? All in, getting clumsy, getting careless, let chaos reign, get the hell out of here, go find Darga? Really, really stingy? Or just pace yourself? What's the new plan?
Yeah, I'm holding out.
You're gonna try to go slow. But if you want to win the tournament, you got, you know, like you were saying,
wait till I get the cards. Wait till I get the cards.
Yeah.
May the force be with me.
Okay. All right. Another round plays much the same, back and forth, back and forth. And then final round. Gentlemen, one last roll, please.
Oh, all right, last force point. 4. Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. Okay.
You all start right. with the force point?
yeah, I start with the force point.
I'd get a 4. Okay, well, the force is not very good at playing cards.
21.
Oh.
Natural.
Oh. All right. So
natural 20. So for a total of 25 minus 2 is 23.
Yeah.
Oh, he tied Silas.
Yeah. Yeah. This is getting interesting. So let's say I know it's blackjack, but like to flavor it, right? Okay. You guys managed to hit 23 in the positive, you know, that kind of thing, right? And as long as no one pulls a rabbit out of their hat or that proverbial extra dice royal flush kind of thing, or the you know, you guys have this in the bag, and you guys haven't revealed your cards, but you know, you're really smiling, you know, this kind of thing, like yeah, let's go, right? This kind of thing. Arif folds. Moro, he does really well with a natural 27. He's really smiling at you. You know, Silas, you think you've got it done. Oh, if I win, great. No reason for plan B, right? You look around the table. Arif, oh, well, that's the cards, you know, folds on the spot. Arandis looks steady. Lady Pharaoh looks smug. Kreska actually folds. He bet too much, and he gets to a point where he actually gets a little desperate. And for some crazy reason, he just kind of flips his strategy. And you think you know why. Because if he's playing against one person, then he's playing that person, I could beat that hand. But there's enough energy at the table. 1, 2, 3. It's too many people look pleased with themselves, even though they're trying to hide it. You know what I mean? Kreska decides discretion, better part of honor, and he just folds. Arif just folds automatically. Obviously, he had a shit hand. Arandis holds out. Theos holds out. And you guys are sitting on pretty good-looking cards. All right. Lady Fierro holds her hand close to her chest, a confident smile gracing her lips. One by one, most of the other competitors have folded. Lieutenant Arandis and the woman remain locked eye to eye. You guys have bet what you've bet, right? All in, or whatever you need to match kind of thing. And it comes down to those two. She, I forget what is it, call or whatever. Like, she matches your bet kind of thing, guys, and does a confident raise, like a big raise. So if you guys want to stay in, it's pretty much going to cost you just about all your cash. Anyway, you really don't expect Arandis to do this. You know, he plays the staple game, and he's got, you know, he's got a hoard of money. The Imperial Officer Arandis and the Happo Woman remain in the games, glaring at each other coldly. Another round of betting the stakes, as I've just said. And it seems he's feeling her out. Watches her for a long moment. Then eyeing the savvy-looking Dravis. And then gives every other player a courtesy nod, even the people that fold. And then surprisingly, he says, I will wager every credit I have. And the dude pushes a mountain of credits in. Which means, gentlemen, the only way you can stay in, because these two are like pushing the bet way up, is to bet everything you have, because it's more money than you have. So starting with Silas, are you all in or you wait?
Is it possible to do like a perception check?
Sure, sure.
Beautiful. 25.
Okay. It's kind of a now or never moment. I mean, there's always plan B, right? But you could learn a lot. You could possibly win right here. We're right at the end of the tournament, you know, that kind of thing. This move that Arandis just did actually knocks Arif and Kreska right out of the game. Kreska looks really upset because he's like, I didn't bet, didn't stay in. It's like, this could take everything, you know, that kind of thing. We get in one last round.
Right. So drawing what Silas has, he begins to kind of mull over his cards a little bit and look across the table. He understands the situation. Either I go in all right now or I'm playing from behind always and I may be bullied out of the pot for the rest of the game. So he looks across, kind of gives a quick hard stare over at Rahal, and then just pushes in.
Everything? Everything? Goes across the table?
Everything.
Okay. Rahal.
So I'm going to make a perception check as well.
Yep.
And I got a 25 on that.
Okay. Would you like to add a force point to that
roll?
No,
I cannot. I have no more force points.
What?
No. But specifically, I'm checking for Moreau to see if he's like, yo, I got this.
Okay. He is confident and like Big Wink just kind of fell apart. This move by Randis has thrown everybody off. He looks nervous.
Okay, I'll fold.
Okay.
Too rich for my blood.
Now, I may have erred here. This is the final set of hands. So you could walk away with several thousand credits that you have built up in the game, or you could go for broke and try to win it. But whoever gets that pot...
I'm not here to win.
I know. But whoever gets that pot will have enough money that they could probably just waste everybody from this point in. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The final hand, like, this seems to be the hand that's really going to make or break the winner, even though there will be hands that come later, because with that much cash, they could, like Silas said, they'll just get bullied right out.
Yeah.
Okay. You fold and, okay.
Yep.
10,000 to get in, a huge pot. I will say that, what's the total winning? 100,000? Million? It's like a crazy amount of money. It's like a million credits. It's like a lot of money. You guys are like playing for big stakes. I will have you roll your favorite dice, a D6.
You want everyone to roll a D6?
No, just Matt. Just Matt. This is what he has in front of him.
Four.
Times 10,000 credits.
Sweet.
You put 10 in, you walk away 30 up. Silas is all in. Lorandis is all in. The other guys are looking at their cards really nervously.
Can I add that to my character sheet?
Yeah. Well, when you cash out, like when you leave the, you know, right now it's chips. It's not money. You need to like transfer it into your account, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. When the hotel changes it up, then you can.
Yep.
You know what they say? Yeah, you can add 40,000 K in chips if you want.
Walk around with a bag.
Big shit. You're throwing chips.
Isn't that all go back to where it started, Rahal?
In a roundabout way.
Oh, looks like someone's been vetting you in between the games. He seems to know a little something about you. Calls you by your first name, takes a jab at a possible but very likely past as you're collecting up your chips. You fold.
Yep.
Make a nice little pile. Little tens. 10, 20, 30, 40. Whee! He makes them into like a ship pattern. Screw Leth. I don't need a ship. I don't need him anymore to fuel my ship on my own. Buy him out. You know, buy out Leth.
No.
And his creepy bird.
Add to the...
add to the big pile of stuff.
Eventually, it's going to be Rahal Incorporated.
Okay.
Oberus Incorporated, yeah.
There you go. So... wagering every credit he has, Aranda's pushing the pile of chips towards the center table. The crowd gasps. Rahal folds. Straver goes all in. Mirando and the rest decide to just kind of, you know, take their chances later. But, you know, whoever takes this is probably going to have too big of an advantage for the rest of the tournament. Her smile, however, deepens. Rahal, up front, you know she's won. And she reveals her hand, pure sabacc, the best possible hand in the game. A cheer erupts from the crowd, but it is what happens next that draws your eye, Rahal. Lieutenant Arandis tosses his cards haphazardly on the table, but as the credit chips are slid across to the table to Lady Fiero, he begins arranging the cards once more. From left to right, he places the one of coins, the three of sabers, the seven of flasks, then two credit chips, followed by the master of staves, and lastly, the queen of air and darkness card. Sliding them all into a neutral field to keep them from shifting. Can I have an intelligence check, please, Rahal?
You certainly can, as soon as I can find it. Come on, baby. Six.
The audience cheers, and it doesn't, he just, I don't know, maybe that's his victory ritual. Nope, that's his losing ritual. Doesn't seem to make any sense to you. Can I have a perception check? And this is where role-playing can actually save a character, because I thought I was clever when I wrote this NPC as his ex, but now it's going to come and bite us in the ass. Can I have a perception check, Rahul?
Another perception check?
Ooh. Yeah.
Pow. 27.
While the audience cheers, you look at the cards, nothing registers. You notice Lady Fiero is staring intently at the cards as though burning them into her mind. It must mean something because you know your ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it means, but I know that was them communicating.
Left to right, one of coins, three of sabers, seven of flasks, two credit chips, followed by the master of staves, and lastly, the queen of air and darkness. Sliding them all into neutral field, and then she just glares at it, looking. The head even processes blah, 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 left to right, like a typewriter, for a moment. And then she notices that you're watching, and she just looks away, smiles at people, and accepts the glad handing. Any ideas?
I've got thoughts.
Would you want to share them?
For sure. Well, I mean, I've been watching the whole tournament for somebody to make contact with him.
Guess who?
That bitch.
137.12. 137.12. 137.12.
Yeah, I still can't figure it out. Don't know
technology?
What it is.
Technology?
But perhaps some, you know, somebody else I know would have a better idea. But I knowledge technology?
Yep. For yourself up front. If not, you can just remember what the
16.
Card
16.
Oh, wait a minute. Dot. So anyway, if something flashes in your mind that Crash said earlier, you know, something about a numerically sequence that corresponds to a communication band.
Oh, the slave band thing.
Back
starship.
Back and forth. They're broadcasting on channel 137 dot something something, I believe. Just fleeting information that I didn't even mention, but it just comes back to you in a rush.
137.12.
I need to recharge my battery. Sorry for about that. You know, he says that memory comes back to you actually to spuck that slowly. Oh, coming out of your drink.
Click. All right.
And they say I'm heavy-handed with my DMing. No. Not a bit. So, he buys in, and he loses. And Arandis, you know, is out of the game. He's out of money. Like yourself, you're not here to play. And it's obvious Arandis has made contact because, you know, he's out of the game. He's probably going to leave. So, if you can get a chance to talk to Dargus Contact, your wife...
Ex-wife.
But then, suddenly, Silas Draver stands right next to her, and he says,
"Oh, you put me on the spot.
Line! I'll take that. He says,
I'll be taking that.
He leans forward just as the credit data pad is laid in front of her, which is the representation of the transfer. Silas stands up, snatches it, says he'll take it, and as he's leaning forward, the other hand comes up and pushes that, remember the pocket? Slaps something on the side of the droid, right over top of one of the droid's own buttons. Immediately, the droid, which maybe for a security upgrade, has hidden weapons, panels pop open and guns pop out. In the crowd, goons push forward, four of them, pushing back people and brandishing edged and heavy holdout, blaster pistols from the four corners, either side of the, like near the door, actually near Vipesh, funny enough. And the droid at the table pulls guns and starts doing that quick swirl on the players at the table. And Silas takes the money. And we'll see you next time on We Shot First. Say goodnight, Vipesh.
I told you so.
Gun! I told you. I
guns!
Told you.
Guns.
Guns.
Just starts separating into little smaller versions of Vipesh. Just rushes in every direction. Seriously, that'd be cool power.